Grace, peace, and mercy are yours this day through our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, so often when reading the story of God in Christ, it seems to be a distinct theme of the book to tell stories of just how far the love of God seeks to go. And today's Bible story seems to do that again. I don't know about you, but it hits me as kind of a wild one. Maybe fitting for a month in which we celebrate Halloween. You've got this guy emerging from the tombs, weeping and moaning. And incidentally, if there are any, you know, ghosts or goblins or demons who come to your doorstep later this month, know that you are strong in Christ. Fear not. Just give them some candy and send them on their way, okay? But everything suggests that Jesus shouldn't be there. Or if nothing else, he shouldn't have much to say. He crosses the lake, and in the gospel stories, any time that happens, you know that probably something amazing or weird is about to happen. And it's Gentile country, so he's not amongst his Jewish family, his Jewish friends and community. It's a people of different faith, belief, customs, and social rules, perhaps even more in line with the occupying Romans. We hear that there's a herd of pigs present, which are forbidden in traditional Jewish custom, so he shouldn't be around them. There's also a cemetery nearby, which again was to be avoided if one wanted to stay ritually pure. And if that's not enough, he's confronted by this guy who we're told has been tormented by what's described an unclean spirit, so much so that it has caused the man to want to hurt himself. And he's been chained up by the people of the community. So there's a bit going on here for Jesus. And regarding this guy, the community has tried to chain him up, maybe even for his own protection or to keep him at bay and out of sight, but he is so strong that he has broken the chains and shackles to pieces. In fact, when Jesus asks the man his name, the voice from him, it appears that he's lost any identity of himself altogether. For the spirit or demon in him answers that his name is Legion, because there are so many voices waging war inside him. A Roman legion guard would have numbered 6,000 soldiers. And we read on that despite this formidable situation, Jesus doesn't seem to care. Says, "What's your name?" The man says, "Legion." Says, "Get out of there." And so it does. They say, "Can we go into the pigs at least?" "Okay." And all of a sudden, the man is calm and at peace and in his right and stable mind. Now, when the townspeople come out to hear it, they're so scared by this change that it's almost too much for them, which seems kind of strange. After all, isn't it good now? The guy is healed. But could it perhaps be the case that the prospect of this man on the loose is scarier than the order they had established before? When Jesus shows up, the order of things does tend to be rearranged. And then when the guy wants to follow Jesus, which is usually the case in the Gospels, Jesus says, "Follow me." Instead, Jesus says, "No, go home to your friends. Go back to those beloved people of yours and tell them what God has done." It's a wild story, and yet it seems like it's kind of important. We read it in the Gospel of Mark, but it's also in the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew. Pastor Calland is preaching on it out west this morning, and he and I were talking about this wild story during the week, and incidentally, we both wondered if God is playing an ironic joke on us as the ones to preach on mental health Sunday. Lord knows we both have our burdens in that. But we also in that noted that perhaps it's not all that far-fetched. For instance, I think many people who have wrestled with stuff like addiction or depression thoughts of real trauma, struggles of mental illness, or even hurting oneself, probably don't have too much problem articulating it as if it's like battling demons a legion strong. And if you haven't dealt with that yourself, I know that there are many of us here who have borne it with loved ones or in your family. You know, you got any of this in your family? It can be as if there's no way through whatsoever. And then sometimes we tend to want to avoid it, to chain it up, tuck it away, keep it out of sight and sound. The story seems to proclaim, at least, that the love of Jesus will not be held back by this. And we might tell the truth of it and hear and know that God's love is there. That's the theme of our day here at Mount Olivet. We've been asking the question and continue to ask throughout the fall, why church? And today's suggestion is that being immersed in the love of Jesus and in the community of faith is at least in part so that we can tell the truth. Can tell the truth of our struggles. Tell the truth of mental illness or depression or addiction. How insurmountable it seems and how sad it can get. And as we name it, we can know that we are held in love and meant to be supported. And most likely there may be hope. I'm grateful a parishioner shared this week about the struggles she's faced and seen in her own family, the trauma of depression and even suicide. Talk about strong battles. And she said that part of the way the family often dealt with it was try to keep it hidden, not let it come to light. But then she shared as they gave it voice, especially amongst their own children, and dug into the muck, healing and support and love was able to enter into those cracks. Now we must be careful where and with whom we share. Some are not able or equipped to bear everything. And yet, there are people who have been gifted by God with great skill and even good training who are. It bears mentioning if any of us are struggling or know somebody who is, there are places to go. There are people to talk to. Some people even get paid to do it as their profession. And we may think and see and remember that that's part of God's heart for us. In fact, Martin Luther talked about two places that you knew where God was for you, and he hinted at a third. One was baptism. Two was the Lord's Supper, and the third was the mutual conversation and consolation of the saints. There's a particular part in our worship which we do each week which kind of gets to this fact. It goes like this, many of you know it. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Sometimes I pray that prayer and I think, you know, I'd kind of rather not that God knew all that stuff that's going on. But then, quick on its heels, we hear the proclamation, you are God's beloved child. I am with you. You are forgiven. There is hope yet to come. It may be scary to tell the truth, but we hear today there is a Savior who crosses over all the boundaries. How far will the love of God go? Well, all the way to you. And we may say thanks be to God. Amen.